I have it.
That boy like Madea. Let go, Madea.
Tonga by Lord. Blocked by Armstead. Two into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown! Caught for the touchdown! Waddle! Miami has taken the lead!
Jack, what the f***?
It's your three favorite degenerates back with another Day One Dolphins episode. I know you heard my voice first, but please don't turn it off. I know the Ouch Man is not present, but Coach Sud and Mr. Ware are here for you, and we got some juice before the draft. Mr. Ware, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm excited. Next week is honestly one of my favorite parts of the season. I feel like it's been our Super Bowl probably for the last 20-plus years.
And how did we get here so fast? We're already here.
Yeah, I mean, the team reported this week, had some voluntary workouts. We saw who showed up, saw them do a sketch little thing there on Tuesday. Yeah. Saw Tua Man showing up, which is always a good sign despite the contract still playing out. But yeah, I know we'll have the draft. It will be a little bit of rookie mini camp. And then probably by June, we'll have workouts and then they'll break. Then we'll be in Tampa for those joint practices.
We might have
a practice report. That'd be pretty cool.
That'll be great. And if we could fly the Ouch Man out for a week, get a couple days. If he flies out, we'll have to go to every day of camp, which I'm down to arrange this early. That's pushing it. We got a lot of work to do before then. And I also want to ask before we get too ahead of it. I don't know if it's just me, but I stress about the contract and $60 million and all that too. But whenever I go on Instagram and I see Tua just walking in the building or just being Tua at all those thoughts just go away. Is that just me or does that guy just calm you down? Just make you feel like it's all good.
He does. He's got a cool demeanor about him. He always does. I definitely have seen the fire start to show up on the field, which is, something I always kind of look for when things need to get that way. But yeah, he does. He's got a cool demeanor about him.
Yeah. And I
think despite everything, I don't feel like I'd be that cool knowing how many haters I had out there and just leading the NFL and then still hearing Fox Sports talk about drafting Michael Penix in the first round. Like, get real.
If I was taking all the crap that Tua's had to take, McDaniel and Greer would have to take all of my passwords for all my social media accounts. Because anytime I'm not watching film or not on the field or not doing stuff, I'm yelling at people on the internet and hitting them with stats and facts and everything else, dude. And Tua doesn't do any of that. Tua doesn't clap back. Tua doesn't even really say anything. He just does it in his press conferences.
No, but I really like, I was a huge fan of Hard Knocks. I couldn't watch the last episode just because of how the season ended.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Yeah. It was honestly a funeral, those last few episodes with all of the players going down. But the behind the scenes episodes of the quarterback room, how they interact, how the players interact with him, seeing, Ramsey and Armstead fly out to Hawaii, right, for his charity event a couple weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man. He's just—he seems like a good dude. I understand the frustrations, with it. We all want to win playoff games, but I also want to play a playoff game, not in the third coldest game ever, with half your defense in the bag, a makeshift O-line. I have excuses, but at the end of the day, the team we lost to won the Super Bowl. I sleep well at night knowing that. I do.
Yes, so do I.
I do. I don't care.
We lost to that man, and that man is real tough to beat, even if you have your full defense.
Yeah.
And that man, it is what it is.
That man coming into the season with now his best receiver with six felony charges. Yeah. That's come on, man. Please.
Well, that was his best receiver last year because that's who they drafted. But they have another draft pick this year, and they're probably going to take another receiver. So either way, one other note before we move forward. Anybody that's stressing the Tua contract, we did exercise the fifth-year options on Mr. Holland and Mr. Waddle, which means they'll still be on a little bit lower of a paycheck this year. Do you believe that we should work out their contracts during this season, after this season, before this season? What's the outlook on them? Because they could both kind of get really expensive, similar to how Christian did.
So my priority of contracts is Tua, Waddle, Holland, Phillips. that's my priority contracts right there in terms of how I would view going forward. So Tua gets done. Perfect. Waddle we need because the Tyreek situation one way or another could play out with his contracts, whether he leaves, whether the team wants him to leave based off the off-field stuff. There's nothing on the field that makes me want Tyreek to leave. I'll just say that.
There's been a handful of drops that I wouldn't mind.
But I still know one thing. He makes us a lot better.
I completely agree. I know. I'm just being a hater.
No, I agree. We could chop the drops up, but we're here to talk, you know. But the contracts. Right. And then Holland, I think, is really, when he's on, I think the injury when he came back from that last year, the knees, I don't think he was the same player. I think that's pretty apparent. But before that, he was playing top three level in the league. And being so young, I mean, the two guys above him are, you know, Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates, who are, you know, approaching 30. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think he's right on that cusp. And then I think the hell of Phillips, but at the end of the day, you know, we already are paying a guy 20X million who's already banged up. We know Phillips does have an injury history from college, right? He was actually medically, you know, ineligible at one point.
That was those California Dems, though. They sat him down.
No, I get it. And I'm just, but, you know, at the end of the day, that's how I view it. But for folks I've seen already on Twitter, it's like you can pay Waddle, Tyreek, and Tua. Just like the Eagles pay Hurts, Devonta, and AJ. It is possible.
You can do it. So, they
paid Saquon. You're absolutely right. Good point. But we have a fantastic front office when it comes to managing the cap. I think what they've done this offseason is awesome. But you're spot on. Tua, Waddle, I wouldn't wait.
Nope.
Earlier the better. I think we save money. I think Waddle's proved himself in every aspect. Again, I think there's some elements where he'll disappear. But I really, you know, when you look at it, he still looks open. I think that's more force-feeding Tyreek. I don't necessarily blame him as much for getting shut down. So I'm a huge fan of him, man. I think he's lived up to everything as a number five overall pick. He does his job. He doesn't cause any waves. He seems like a good dude.
Was he number five? Wasn't he like seven?
He's a fifth overall pick, man.
Crap, yeah, we took him.
Maybe six? No, I think he was fifth.
Right, either way, what are we giving him? $26 million? 27? Because it looked like Devonta got about 25 a season.
I'm giving him the same contract as Devonta because he lives in Florida and you make more money here. There you go. Have fun.
Yeah, he was six. Right in between five and seven.
Their stat lines are nearly identical. Devonta has one more touchdown. Waddle has 200 or 300 more yards. So it's pretty – yeah, I'm fine with 26 if that makes him feel better. Sorry, he was the sixth overall pick. My apologies.
Yep. No, that draft class,
Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, and then it went Pitts. And then I remember because we were all arguing, who do we want if we get the shot? Pitts, Chase, Waddle. Remember, we traded out of the
free pick. Nice, Sewell.
And Sewell. But look at these gangsters right here. You go – Chase, Waddle, Sewell, J.C. Horn, who's been up and down, but then Pat Surtain, Devonta Smith, Justin Fields, Micah Parsons, Rashawn Slater, ooh, and then Vera Tucker, Mac Jones, Zaven Collins, Alex Leatherwood. The Raiders draft picks are hideous. And then Jalen Phillips. See, this one was good, man. This was a good one. I like this. I like our 2021 draft more than our 2020 draft.
Oh, I remember that draft. And at first I was pissed off that we got out of the top three picks because I really wanted to take Sewell in there. And then I was like, it's okay. At that sixth pick, we'll be able to take Micah Parsons and all will be forgiven. And I'm cool with Jalen. That's my doubt. Go get him. But man.
I'll tell you one thing. I wish we didn't take Liam Eichenberg and we took Nick Bolton. Creed Humphrey, who you and I were banging the table for. We could have had Creed Humphrey at that pick.
And then we're not taking a freaking center. Not only did we take
Liam Eichenberg, we traded up for it. But all right, that's digress. And let's talk about
this year.
So speaking of picks, we don't have a lot of them.
Nope.
But we're in our, you know, we're back in the first round, first time in 2 years. We've got our first pick is number 21 overall in the first round. Second pick is 55. So those are good quality picks. I look at those as we can make some, you know, some elements. But then, like we were talking about before, We have 103 pick weight to pick number three for us. And that's that is a fifth round 158. Then we have a sixth round 184 from Chicago, a sixth round 198, and then a seventh round 241. So collectively, we have six overall picks, two of them that would be considered, you know, premium top end picks that you should find starter capable players. And then honestly, Seth, the rest of those rounds are developmental players at best, maybe a rotational guy here or there that mm-hmm. you'd find in, you know. So I think we all agree, including is, you know, I'm sorry, Ouch, is that we obviously are looking at more needs than we have picks.
I think we're all on the same hashtag team trade back mentality, whether that's whether that's trading that 21 back and getting a little bit more juice, that 55 back and trading some juice. We've all done multiple mocks and we keep sharing them. And some of them are more on the silly side. Some of them are joking around, but some of them actually have some like bite to them where you just trade that 21 back a few picks to get another third, or you trade completely mm-hmm. out of that second round to get two, three more picks in the third and fourth rounds. This is a deeper draft where, yes, the top end talent is great, but personally, unless it's I hate saying his name wrong, Fatanu mm-hmm. at 21, you trade mm-hmm. it back, because there's guys at the mocks that we're doing, at least the ones that I'm doing, where mm-hmm. he's gone, but you have the option between Graham Barton, JC Latham, Jackson Powers Johnson, and you get to pick. So if I have the option between three of them, odds are all three of them aren't going to go on a run right in my face. There's going to be some guys that are trading up for different positions. So trading, let me just check.
You're trading from 21 hypothetically to what, 27, 28?
I went as far back as 29 on one of them, and I went with the Frazier kid picks out of West Virginia.
Yeah, I think any of those are options. I think 27, 29, even 31 all the way to San Fran, I'm not opposed of it. Someone offers enough to get us in the low, you know, the, I'm sorry, high picks, like a 33 to 36 in the second, and then acquire maybe a low-level second on top of it or high-level third, I'm open to that. We've got the two future 2025 comp picks, which we haven't had comp picks because we've been so free agent savvy in terms of spending past few years, where this year we've lost two, you know, premier players with contracts to Bob Hunt and Christian Wilkins, where, you know, combine those, you can probably get back into the third, you know, third round this year, maybe a second, who knows, if somebody's got multiple seconds, isn't in love with their board. I think those are all options for us, but we've got to find at least three starters in this draft. Two additional rotational developmental pieces. And then, you know, maybe some guys that we can work on, you know, in the future. So,
and obviously only having a pick, two picks in the first 55 is not going to get you three to four starters or even three to four salvageable players. It's just the odds of hitting in the fifth and sixth is just so low.
I mean, we haven't even hit 100% in the first two rounds these last few years. I mean, we've gone back and forth, you know, for every Waddle and, you know, Phillips and Tua you find, you've got guys like Austin Jackson who take a little bit, who I think we all were off board on before last year. We know Liam's been put and thrust into serviceability and we appreciate his efforts, but I'm never going to say at pick 42, he's better than Creed Humphrey, who we just salivated over 5 minutes ago. Absolutely not.
Right.
And Noah Igbinoghene, don't even get me started when Jonathan Taylor was on the board and we needed a running back at the time. We're not going to go back, right, Seth? We're not going to go back.
We're not going to let them
hurt us.
Devil's advocate, Greer was smashing the second rounds for a couple years there. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about the Jarvis Landry, Xavier Howards of the world.
Oh, those are fine. And, you know.
He was hit.
Both of which are still free agents. So biggest holes. So we talked about the picks. Biggest holes.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Ouch! Excuse me. Keep saying it.
I'm gonna have to keep censoring his name. Let me put that in the notes.
I apologize.
It's all good. You're out here putting his business out on the streets.
This is from here. No, so sorry. So Ouch has got offensive guards still as number one need, He's got wide receiver, number two, safety, three, edge, four, and then he's got, you know, defensive tackle. If there's a really good player, he could see us going after him. But what I really liked is his notes with, you know, talking about offensive guard. If you're going to go there in round one, you know, round two, it's got to be a day plug-in starter. And, you know, in round one, Fatanu's, I think, the best option, but I think we all are on under the belief his hype is growing that he's probably going to be top 15 pick, you know, if not right before us. I just can't see him getting past Seattle and Pittsburgh and then falling into our laps. That would be tough. What do you think? I mean, do you think, you know, offensive guard, is that where you would put number one need?
I think Ouch is my brother from another mother, as you are. But I'm going to try to say this in the least ditty way that I can. His holes are my holes, you know?
Yeah.
I completely agree on everything. All my early picks and every mock draft that I did, I like the idea of Brian Thomas. I like the idea of a lot of these guys that people are mocking to us. But the only ones that really matter to me, Fatanu, Barton, Latham, JPJ. If it gets to the point where I just traded back so far that I'm at like 30, 31, even 32, and mm-hmm. I'm looking at dealing with, you know, that Fraser dude, a couple of these other, like, a little bit less talented, I'm not mad about it. Yeah. But, yeah, absolutely offensive line. Where he has edge, I would actually have it up a little higher. I'm not saying to take one in the third round, fourth round. We were talking pre-show, and we'll go over a few of those guys later. But I definitely think another developmental guy to kind of be in rotation with Shaq Barrett once the big guns come back. You can never have too many pass rushers, but you can definitely not have enough. And I think only having two studs is not how we're going to get a Super Bowl victory. It's just not going to happen. You need to have three guys that can produce nonstop, and then at least one or two guys developing under them that can make a play or two here and there, but aren't asked to do too much. So definitely edge, D tackle. I like that late. If there's a guy early that, you know, falls, I'd consider it. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely a lot of late round projects that we could deal with. Most of our interior defensive linemen are going to be on a rotational basis anyway. Yep. So why not take a really, really late flyer on somebody that maybe has a lower motor or conditioning issues or something like that? If he's only going to give us a handful of snaps, cool, do it. But I would put safety. Did he have safety as his number two hole?
He is. It's three.
All right, it's my number two, and I would put third receiver slash tight end as my third. Okay. Because I think we could get away with a Jatavion Sanders in the second round as long as we have a third and a fourth round pick arranged. But or even if he just trades into those rounds using some of those later comp picks or next year picks like you're saying.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of talent at safety. And I think not only a third safety for us to, you know, play right away, but a guy that can develop. I wouldn't hate us drafting a safety and then signing one more immediately after the draft.
Like a starter
level guy, not an undrafted free agent guy. We'll probably grab a couple of those, but I'm talking about grabbing an extra starter like Justin Simmons after we draft another safety.
Yeah, I agree. I will say this. I feel like I look at how much money do you have invested at the position, right? Currently on our roster. How many of these positions of need are premium positions that require premium level picks? And right. Mine comes down to, I think you're going to call me, some people call me crazy. I think wide receiver, as our roster stands, is the most plausible position to draft in round one if the right player is there. My problem is I don't love Brian Thomas enough at 21 anymore. I thought I did. I really don't. We talked about it. He seems to me a little bit like a one trick pony type of guy, a Martavis Bryant type of player. You know, if you remember Martavis Bryant from a few years ago, really good at the go ball. But I don't need another go ball guy. I need a guy that's got the physicality to win one on one, break the press. But really, I'm looking for a guy that, for what Waddle and Tyreek give us, you know, vertically, I need a guy underneath that can take the ball and get yak. And break some tackles. And he's big, he's fast, he makes the measurables. I just, there's his route tree seemed limited in college, and that isn't to say he can't learn, because people have the capability to learn. I'm not going to be mad if he's the pick. I just not in love with him enough at 21 anymore to run that to the podium.
Yeah, go ahead and let's trade back into the second. Let's look at a guy like Xavier Leggett, or let's even wait till the third and grab a guy like Javon Baker.
Yeah.
These are guys that can work underneath and do other things and not just – I love the measurables and all that with Brian Thomas as well, but I agree, man. I see a lot of hitches and a lot of goes.
Yeah.
And I don't see a whole lot of routes outside of that.
And I don't think – you know, I just don't think that's what we need. So, but good, really good player. You're not going to upset me. You touched on my wide receiver one for what we need, and knowing a Dunze, a Neighbors, or a Harrison's not going to be at 21 – God forbid they did fall. I mean, those are three
players. If a Dunze falls at 21, I will run to Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. So behind that, I still have, you know, offensive guard, interior O-line. I wouldn't mind finding a player that has ability to step in at guard for a couple years. And because Brewer has still played guard, you know, outside of center. So that's an opportunity. But I don't think there's anybody right now that's a better center than him year one. But, you know, a JPJ, who's a guy that I like, not maybe at 21, but during a trade back, or if he's still there in the second, I think he could fall.
You think he falls to the second?
I think he falls maybe even as far as Creed did, to the late second. I think his medicals maybe have something. Doesn't have a lot of tape, man. He's only played, like, started 1 year, but I love his game, but I don't. Right now, we keep saying team trade back, but it really, like, I think based off of what's going to happen, unless there's a player that we just don't foresee, like a Fatanu, I would even put Talisi Fuaga, another nasty, you know, Samoan, the Oregon State guy. He's another
guy.
You
think he falls?
I think he could.
I mean, these linemen fall sometimes.
I mean, I'm
for no other reason then these other teams get horny about receivers and quarterbacks and corners. Once corners go on a run, people start trading up because they're like, oh, let me get my guy.
Certainly four quarterbacks I could foresee before 21 being taken, right? So that leaves 16 other picks. Okay, so four of those. We know three certain receivers, okay, 11 picks.
Yeah.
We know four. Yeah, we know Alt. We know probably Fashanu. We probably imagine, you know, Latham, maybe. Maybe it's Fuaga.
Let's call it even there. Let's call it at 14 and then add three defensive backs.
Yeah. And then you haven't even done your DNs. You haven't done Dallas Turner. You haven't done Latu.
Not a single edge rusher.
So, like, just based off the odds, somebody's going to fall. But if somebody's paying a king's ransom, just make it happen, Captain. It's not real hard.
Man, guys are going to fall this year, brother. There's so much juice in this first two rounds, dog.
So, I mean, besides, like, that, you know, Graham Barton's a really good player. You mentioned
him. Yeah, so let's talk about players we want. We've addressed the holes. We all agree on the holes. Right now, we're talking about players we want. Yes, I would love Graham Barton, especially he looks like one to me that's going to fall.
Yeah, I honestly think he's right in our wheelhouse. I think 21 could be a little early, but his versatility is nice.
Oh, I know 21's too early. That's why hashtag team trade back is going to go ahead and grab a third and a fourth or something like that. Just get back a few picks, six, seven picks, and see which one of these linemen are still sitting.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you like? So you said pass rusher, if I'm not mistaken, is a need that you feel pretty high on having a stable.
I would put it as our fourth biggest in the draft.
But it's such a premium position. It's a top four position in the NFL at this point, right?
Yeah. And if Latu falls to 21, receiver, for sure.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. And I think so. Okay. So Latu, if Latu's there, you're taking the card at 21 and you're not thinking twice. Just making sure I understand.
No hesitation.
Okay.
But
Jared,
there's
Verse.
No way he does. I could wait on Verse.
You could wait on Verse. Okay. And then in the event somebody's stupid enough to let Dallas Turner fall, you're fine with running that in as well.
That's where I could see Greer trading up a couple picks if he falls to like 19 or 18 or something like that. Because, yes, top end is excellent, but the middle and later bits of this pass rusher group have just a lot of question marks. So I figure let's just take this as a developmental pass rusher group.
Yeah.
Get one of those guys, develop them, take them later. But this safety class, this receiver class, this offensive line class,
it's
deep in the middle. Deep in the middle.
It is. I think
I love this safety class
I think all three of those guys we just mentioned, those are all three guys that I'm at the point where I'd be comfortable at 21 having that be the card. Obviously, Turner, don't think he has a shot at being there, but, you know, even if we traded up a little bit and hopefully didn't sacrifice too much, I mean, I'm not going to cry. You know, I'm not going to be mad about a pass rusher that gets me, you know, double digit sacks a year. Right. Phillips has the ability to condense down and third down packages to play inside. So, you know, we say, Ouch brought up a good point. Can we afford a draft pick that gets relegated to the bench? Right. When those guys come back healthy. Well, I think, you know, Weaver's probably creative enough where he could come up with some sub packages to get them all in the field at the same time.
He'll have them drawn up in camp, ready for when everybody gets back. And then as the season goes along, they'll have sub packages and backup packages. But at the end of the day, you're just going to be able to give guys breathers. And on a long drive, you don't have to keep Chubb in on this desperation third down because it's third down. You actually got a guy that maybe gave him four or five plays off during the drive, so now he's fresh for this.
Yeah, I agree. I think the next guys behind those are, you know, the Robinsons, right? You got Chop Robinson from Penn State, and then you got Darius Robinson from Missouri. Both those guys are 21 is way too rich for my taste buds for either of them.
Wait, not even thinking about it.
Yeah, not even. I still have the Missouri ick from, you know, our man there, Charles Harris.
But that is not my man.
But Darius Robinson is really a much different player, very physical player. He's exactly the type of tweener, like the guy who can, you know, play outside, play inside, that we probably fits more of the Baltimore scheme for what maybe we're still looking for on D-line. I really don't think our need is for a true nose tackle based off the Tart signing and what we've done in free agency. I think a guy that can hold the edge in like a five tech and then condense down would be awesome. And I do think, I think Latu can do that. I even think maybe Verse can too. I don't think Dallas Turner can at all. And I don't think Chop Robinson can. Chop Robinson to me seems like more of like a really poor man's Micah Parsons, like a really poor man's Micah Parsons. You know what
I was going to say the very great value. He's just a quote unquote pure pass rusher. He's going to try to just get to the quarterback, which is cool. But I'm not sure this Weaver defense is actually designed for a guy like that. I know you're not as big on Braylon Trice as I am, but he's a guy that seems like he's strong enough against the run, strong enough as a pass rusher, and will do a little bit when asked to drop back into, you know, the flats or a hook to curl for 2 seconds. You know what I mean? He can do all of that decently enough to where you keep him in a system that he can learn and develop with a solid outside linebacker coach, learning under Bradley Chubb, Phillips, Shaq Barrett. Like, our outside linebacker group is sensational for a pass rusher that's a bookworm.
Yeah.
Or a guy that just wants to come in and learn. And that's all I've read about Braylon Trice. So that's
50, once we like trade, 55. You're saying 55.
No, I'm talking him. We trade back again. I like him mid-third.
Oh, okay.
Even like fourth round.
I was
round.
Trying to figure out where your value was. Okay, so that's...
Yeah.
I think the big thing we're really hitting on is like we like certain players, but there's got the value has to be there.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
So my first, I went over those. It's just those four names. Like, if Latu falls, I don't see that happening. If the Alabama cat falls, sure. But I'm looking at the offensive linemen. And then for the second round, depending on what we do in the first, I would love a Jatavion Sanders. I know we just signed Jonnu Smith, but 12 personnel, even 13 personnel, would just do some crazy numbers for our receiver group. And if a guy like Tyreek or Waddle's down for a second, we can just load up on tight ends, run the ball down their throat, but also actually have a passing threat with our tight ends.
I believe Jatavion Sanders had zero drops last year. And when you watch the film, their safeties come in full speed at him as he's catching the ball, and he's catching it while he's being hit. He's just a brick wall, but obviously
he's a good player, man. He didn't test. He didn't test nearly as well as I thought he would.
Yeah, I'm a film guy.
Okay, no,
I like checking the measurables and watching the gauntlet drill just to see how they flow and stuff like that. But
I know
some people just don't like that stuff. You know what I mean?
I agree. I like him more than I like Worthy or Mitchell, the receivers. For the value we could get him, like if we did go for him at 55 or in a trade back scenario, like say he's there in the third, I like give me my choice of those guys. I'm with you there.
Now, and that's only if Xavier Leggett is gone. If Xavier Leggett is sitting there at 55, you smash that like button and take it home.
I think, like, I honestly, based off of everything, do not let him go to the Chiefs. And I could see him sliding into that, like, last draft spot.
He looks like Rashee Rice.
I mean, those guys would be beasts. It just scares me, but... Leggett's the dude. I'm a pretty Ricky Purcell fan. I know we disagree a little bit on, is he true slot guy? Can he be, you know, a guy that in the event it's Waddle and this draft pick moving on post Tyreek?
Did you just give him Pretty Ricky?
No, that was actually Steve Smith Sr. It was pretty fire, man. And if you watch his footwork, who he is working out with Waddle. And working out with,
I saw it.
And
I
he also it. Has the best college catch I've probably seen.
That was nasty. The one hit. Yeah,
but and he had just because I'm a salesman, I'll sell him. He had three different quarterbacks at Florida, so
they were all pretty good.
Come on, man. Anthony Richardson was a talent, but he is a talent. But that's to be serious. He had like a 55 completion percentage. He had a guy named Graham Mentz last year. He had a guy named Graham Mentz who played at Wisconsin. So I think good is an overstatement there. But, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. had, you know, C.J. Stroud thrown in for 2 years. Come on, give me a break.
Legit.
But, yeah. I do like that. We have to talk about it. If we were to go one of the whites at the receiver position, if I gave you a choice between Pretty Ricky and Ladd McConkey, gun to your head scenario, what are you choosing?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to go Ladd.
Okay.
Only because I think he plays a little bit more outside than Pearsall. But before I put my foot in my mouth, I'm going to check that and pull it up. But I'm just on the side. I agree. There's going to be a day where we don't have Tyreek and Jalen at the same time. There was times during the season last year where that happened. And did we just decide to move Braxton Berrios to the outside receiver position? Was he playing X and Z and stuff like that? No, because he's not built for that. He's a true slot. And I believe Pretty Ricky.
We had a combination of, Seti Will and
I think River Craig Crash.
Little River, and then I think, you know, even Chase Claypool got some run. You hear Chase is going to the CFL? That's how bad it's got.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, man. There you go. Happens. All right, so perfect. Ladd proved my point because I believe I already saw that on film.
Okay.
But his slot snaps last year, 32. Okay. Wide snaps, 118.
Perfect. What was Pretty
the year prior? 90 to 275, 82 to 92.
He's been in favor of being split wide as opposed to slot in his career.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And Ricky, 260 slot snaps last year compared to 194 wide. So he did play wide.
Okay. But still, there's a huge discrepancy and playing
the year
slot,
before.
Okay.
The year before, 209 slot, 80 wide.
Okay.
And that year, he averaged 19.7 yards per reception and the most touchdowns he scored. The year before, well, I guess this year, when he had 260 in the slot, 194 wide, 14.8 yards per catch. So,
okay. I think.
And then his first year, he did most of his work out wide with 145 in the slot and 214 wide. He averaged 12.1 yards per catch, so 7 yards lower than when he stayed in the slot.
Okay. Well, good to know. So he's got ability to do both, but it's clear he favors one and then Ladd's more of an outside, but at the end of the day, you know, Waddle and Hill still play outside. It would be nice to have a guy that has the ability to do both, but especially knowing they can stick outside, they're not limited as a one-trick pony. Braxton's that. I'm not really putting faith in Ezekama to do anything in year three, but I'll tell you one thing, if he doesn't, I'm looking right at Wes Welker every draft and smiling at him and saying, you're never getting another pick of yours again, because that was a foolish pick to begin with. We didn't need it. It was a gluttonous one, very similar to the Leonte Carew pick of 2014.
Shout out to Leonte
Carew. Shout out to Leonte in the third round, who I think he had three catches.
That was so stupid.
Of Rutgers. Oh, God, man. How do I remember? I know all this stuff and nothing valuable in life. Just terrible.
What do you mean? That is valuable. Leonte Carew.
He's making me millions.
So at 55, if he's still there, what do you think of Keon Coleman?
I have no interest.
None?
None. Not for what we run and what we do. I think he's a great player. I think he would be awesome in, you know, a different scheme. Not with us, man.
I feel about a Donnie Mitchell. I know people like Mitchell a lot, but it doesn't make any sense to me.
I would take Coleman over Mitchell for sure.
Yep.
I don't like the Texas run. I don't even have Worthy on there, but just knowing how McDaniel is and that look that he gave him at his pro day, that was infatuation as I've seen it. It scares me a little bit.
Of course.
But I mean, he's a serious weapon. They obviously knew something when they drafted Achan last year. I wasn't a huge fan of that pick to begin with, and that proved me wrong. So, these guys.
You know what? Oh my God! So not to cut you off, but I'm pulling up my personal favorite receiver in this draft, Javon Baker.
I love that one.
Those same numbers we were just talking about with Pearsall and his yards per catch, right? Javon Baker last year averaged 21.9 yards per catch on 52 catches. That is 52 catches for 1,139 yards, my brother in Christ, and 7 touchdowns, with 102 of those snaps coming out of the slot and 275 of them coming out wide.
And he ran on 13 games. 3.41 yards per route run.
Mm-hmm.
That generated over 250 unrealized air yards.
Brother, 15 deep catches tied for third.
I don't even know. He's got.
He gives deep ball, he's a deep ball guy, and he works the middle of the field. He kind of reminds me of Juice with a little bit more speed.
He kind of reminds me of like Brandon Ayuk and Anquan Boldin had a kid.
Jarvis Landry,
I guess.
Bit faster.
I don't know.
Little bit faster. Jarvis and he's bigger. But
you're right. He kind of runs like him, and then he attacks the football like Jarvis does. Like he's very violent with his like route running,
bro. And he's down to run you over too.
And just fun fact, he's not but he went to UCF. Well, he went to Alabama first.
Thank you.
So
second
round pick. Like I think 55, he'll probably still be available. Not gonna be mad about that.
I want him in the third.
Want him in the third? Okay, see, that's where it's like, maybe early, if you can get a, 61 or 60, 4, 5, 6 pick, right? Something like that. Those exist.
I need two picks in there.
Yeah.
I need Javon Baker in there, and then I need the guy that we both agree on, and I believe Ouch agreed on as well, is Kalen Bullock, the safety out of USC.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is a stud. He's ready to start right now in our little three safety packages. He can play a little bit of nickel corner if we need it. His full field range, if that's what you want to call it, I just call it his ability to play field safety, would allow us to pull Javon from that spot and let him play maybe a little bit more box nickel.
Yeah.
Maybe blitz him like how we used to a little bit. Maybe just move him around some more. Also, don't need to ask Poyer to play deep field safety. And we're good.
Yeah.
Everything's cool. We don't have to pay for another safety that's like a higher end guy. We can kind of just take whatever's on the street. And I think in round three, you can't beat that.
No, I agree. I like, and he's a top 30 visit. right? So he's been invited into Miami, came in.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. So right now I'm looking at, this is posted by our man CK. So top 30 guys have come in. Jerrion Jones from Florida State, Nuke Bradford from TCU, Kalen Bullock from USC, Sanosi Kane, that's a cool name, from Purdue.
That's hard.
Quantez Stiggers from the CFL.
Quantez Stiggers. That's right. My guy.
Trajan Jeffcoat. I'm convinced that they just picked the coolest name. Austin Booker from Kansas. He's a big, tall, kind of looks like Jason Taylor.
Damn.
Christian Boyd. He's a big nose D tackle from UNI, University of North Iowa. JPJ from Oregon.
Let's go.
Here's a guy that this guy is a really good athlete. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. He's like on that back end of the top first round. So he's come in. He's really talented. But again, you know, a guy that worries me, like, can he condense down the guard? Right.
Yeah.
I'm not moving any of our tackles at this point. So
nope.
Bayron Matos, who I'm not familiar with. Imani Bailey from TCU, running back. Isaac Gerendo from Louisville, the guy that tested off the charts, who like ran like a, he's 6'2", 230 and ran a 4.3. So, Rasheen Ali from Marshall, who got hurt at the Senior Bowl, but really good back from Marshall. Big, long guy. Kind of looks like Matt Forte. Eric All from Iowa, who was a former Michigan tight end, was hurt this year. So I love Iowa tight ends. You're never going to piss me off with Iowa tight ends. And then Jalen McMillan from Washington. So their second, third receiver behind Adunze with Polk. And then Ramil Keaton from Tennessee, who I'll be honest, I didn't know much of, but sounds like he's a deep threat. He's like, they compared him to a knockoff Brian Thomas. So.
Jeez.
So. We've got some players who've come in, and it's funny because some of these players we're already talking about are our favorite players and even folks that we have coming up in our mocks here.
Dude, are you familiar with Quintez Stiggers at all?
No, I think I need to be.
So this dude, he is a little bit older, but he went to college, I believe. He lost like his dad his freshman year, lost somebody else. And then he had the COVID year. Then he came back from the COVID year and had some other issues going on. Just had all this crazy stuff going. And instead of trying to go to the draft or anywhere else, he just went to that fan-controlled football league.
Yeah. And then the Toronto Argonauts. So he's been in the CFL.
Bro, balled out in the fan-controlled football league. Balled out in the Canadian league. And just won, like, Canadian Rookie of the Year in led the league in picks.
He made 53 defensive tackles in 5 interceptions, and he was chosen by the CFL by their most outstanding rookie and was on the All-Star team. This is at 22 years old. He's 22. So he's legit.
He's not even that old.
Yeah, literally wild. Okay. So, I'm a fan.
But I watched a full video where like it was his mom that just kept like making calls and trying to get him into stuff and then got him into the fan controlled league. And like, dude, smashes his pro day, 4.45, 10.8 on the broad, 36.5-inch vert, and he's 5'11", 204 pounds.
You gotta love that.
That is a Chris Greer cornerback if I've ever seen one.
So I feel
he's not on the PFF mock drafts for some reason, but he's a guy that I've been fired up about. It seems like he's going to be like a seventh rounder.
So you have to draft him. That's kind of interesting that you have to draft him because usually you can just sign CFL players.
Yeah, not. And he's projecting like sixth, seventh round, but I have a feeling someone's going to get real horny and jump up in like the fifth and grab him.
Listen, I'm down for Stiggers. I'm down for it.
Yeah. Bro, I can't get a Stiggers jersey because I'm not buying any more jerseys because I'm cursing these players. But
so Ouch.
Stiggers is going to go hard.
Ouch has a player that's been brought up, and it's been brought up by some of the larger podcasts, you know, in Dolphin Nation, the 3-yard per carry guys and whatnot, is Amarius Mims from Georgia, who size, speed, athleticism, first guy off the bus, right? All that, you know, 5-star athlete. Those are check boxes. But he's played like less than 1,000 snaps. He's played like 800 snaps. So
I'm good.
You're good? Like, no?
I'm good. No, thank you.
So that's a guy that it seems that Ouch is he likes. But I think
I like him as a football player too.
And if I was the Bills or the Chiefs or a team like that that had some massive quarterback that can just tower over people, yeah, cool. But right now, and the scheme that we run in Miami, I want a tackle today that can also just play guard for right now for the future, like you were saying, for when Armstead's eventually done next year.
Yep.
We need somebody to bounce right out there. I love Keon. I like Kendall Lamb. But having a younger guy that we can just kind of develop on our own would be great. Again, Mims is awesome, but asking a 6'7 guy that's that massive to step in at left guard every once in a while when there's an injury, no thank you. If he was our permanent left tackle and just, you know, took over for Teron, maybe that could work. But I just don't see the value for what we do. He's a great value for somebody else, though, and he's gonna do great things for another team. Oh, yeah. I could even see him going to like a Green Bay and just starting there right away and just chilling, holding down the fort for Love.
Wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo jumps on him at 29. They still
do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't want to face him. It's one of those. Yeah, I'm with you, but I agree. Like, if we're going to take a developmental offensive tackle in round one, he has to have the flex down ability to play guard at least in year one. And I don't see that with Mims. And maybe he can, but I don't see it working out with a quarterback who already has admitted he doesn't see the field well because of not being taller than 6 foot, 6 foot one, whatever he is. Right. So it's right. That's not be stupid there and know what our strengths are and, you know, put a position where it could cause more of a weakness. Good player though. Really good player. You know, Ouch has got a list of players that he likes but could see gone. You know, some of those folks, Jared Verse, Graham Barton, just like you, JPJ, just like me, Brock Bowers. I mean, who knows? Brock Bowers could fall.
I mean, if he falls, smash that. You know what I mean?
1,000%. I think
he's not.
I think the Jets are going to get him, and that does not make me happy. I'm going to say that.
I don't think he gets past the Colts.
He has Worthy. Ouch has Worthy on his list of players. Brian Thomas, Latu, Chop Robinson, Johnny Newton. So we didn't really talk about D tackles, but I think the top two guys interchangeably are probably Johnny Newton from Illinois and Byron Murphy from Texas. Would you?
Hey, and I wouldn't be mad about Johnny Newton. That's the same people.
Yeah.
Bring him in.
Yeah, he's a stud. And then I put, Fiske? Fiske right behind those there. Guys? Would you say Fiske as a D-tackle? Obviously, the big guy Sweat with his DUI, you know, he's probably dropping. So
he's dropping, and he was already dropping due to his
motor. If he's
there
in the fifth, just, you know, smash. Like
No question, right?
We got that.
No questions asked. I did that in a couple mocks. I'm like, man, they got him falling that late. It happens. And I will say, with the Johnny Newtons of the world and some of these other D tackles, if all the offensive linemen that we like, if for some reason JPJ gets taken, even these later in the first round, the Lathams, the Bartons, all of them are gone.
Yep.
Yes. Now Johnny Newton is a little bit more value than jumping and taking Kool-Aid McKinstry right here. You know,
I agree.
I wouldn't rule him out knowing Chris Greer, but I would rather not.
So I think, you know, overall we all are kind of saying the same things. There's not a ton of people outside of four or five names at 21 that we would, you know, jump and run in for. It doesn't really sound like any of us are infatuated with anybody enough to trade up for, which, you know, could be hinted at. I just think the most logical sense is we need to accumulate, you know, one or two more mid-round picks, whether it be a third, even a fourth, man, like just something, you know.
Something.
But yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. There are still some free agents out there, and we know we are having – $16 million come in post June 1st because of X. So that's a good thing. I personally would like to see, you know, we know we brought back some familiar names that are rotational pieces at wide receiver, but I don't think any of us are comfortable now to say we have a guy when Waddle and Hill are shut down that can take over. I think Berrios can do things to move chains, but limited. Rivers, a nice piece, blocks well in certain circumstances, but I don't see any receivers out there. I know we flirted with Beckham, but personally, I'd rather just draft a guy knowing, you know, he's fresh and he can develop and cheap, right?
Right.
What do you think?
I'm cool with that. If we don't get out of the draft with what we want, I don't think we need to force anything. Maybe pay Odell a little bit more than what he's asking for and just push forward with the crew that we got. And then obviously receivers, the top of the draft board and free agency board next year. But we also have a major question mark with the Tyreek situation. So there's no need to overdo it. Receiver is a position where I think we just need to focus more in the now than be looking too much into the future. We already know we're paying Waddle, and we do know Tyreek's going to leave eventually. But he's going to play this cat and mouse nonsense with us for attention because he loves attention, which is fine. But he's definitely going to do a whole, ooh, am I retiring? I don't know yet, and drag it out. And then eventually play for at least one more year, especially if we go on a run. I don't think he's done after this contract. He'll definitely sign at least a one year deal after that. But I don't know anything after that. So I'm cool with just kind of playing it chill almost at receiver and not forcing anything. Mm-hmm. Honestly, this whole draft, as long as we can accumulate a couple more picks, like you were saying, in that fourth round, third round, we can get away with some talent. I mean, we kind of gone over most of the names we're going to go over. I mean, I haven't mentioned my boy Dadrian Taylor-Demerson. I like him in that like fourth round, like we're talking about. We both were talking about Gabriel Murphy out of UCLA. Yeah. That would be a fantastic developmental pass rusher to kind of just sit behind everyone. Another UCLA pass rusher on the roster wouldn't hurt. Fifth, sixth, I liked McKinley Jackson, even though he's got a lot of question marks. DJ James is a corner that I like. He's a little bit on the skinnier side, but he plays big and he's a dog, so I like him. JD Bertrand, linebacker out of Notre Dame. Just another guy that can kind of sit behind everyone, give us a captain on special teams, someone that's just going to go full effort. And then for the sixth round, seventh round, I just want projects. I want to have fun projects. I want to do cool stuff. I'm going to take another special teams hero in James Williams. Obviously, I'm a Canes homer, but he is a tweener that's super athletic and just a football player. You can never have too many football players on the team. As a Miami truther, it hurts me to say I actually wouldn't mind taking Jordan Travis in the sixth round if he's still sitting around. And we were both talking about Cedric Johnson, another DN that could kind of just develop, chill, get into the rotation as it gets a little bit later on in the season. Once it starts getting cold and people start getting hurt, he'll have a whole first half, three quarters of a season under his belt. Hopefully he's adjusted to the game, but that's all you can really expect out of a seventh rounder.
I agree. I think that those guys, if they can contribute some snaps as the season goes along, I mean, can't expect too much, but we have found some gems in undrafted free agency in the late rounds as well. Fifth round has been kind to us over the years. I feel like we found some good players in the fifth round. I think it's time just to kind of unveil, you know, what we messed around and, you know, pick our most recent mock and, you know, what we did. What do you think, Seth?
I'm going to pick my favorite mock.
Okay.
I picked it already.
Okay. Go ahead.
So obviously we're team trade back, right?
If that's how we want to go, that's how we want to go. I agree with you.
And I would also like to mention that for some reason on the PFF mock draft simulator, which is the one that we used, it wouldn't let me take Quintez Stiggers. So for the record, I would like him, but it wouldn't let me draft him. But what I did was I actually traded our number 21 back to 24 with the Cowboys. And for some reason, Fatanu fell. So there's no way. I'm pretty sure I was sitting at 21 and I saw Fatanu's available, Barton's available, and JPJ is available. So let me just trade back and see what happens. And none of those guys went. So here we are. So then my second rounder, I traded that back as well to Arizona. So now we only have one pick in the first 65 picks, but then we get real sexy. Round three, pick 66, Javon Baker. So now we got our third wide receiver that everybody wants. Pick 87, I got Caleb Bullock, our safety. Our third guy, coverage guy, tackling and run support could use a little bit of work, but man, is he a ball hawk. And then I also had three picks later, via Houston from the Arizona trade that I just did. And I was able to take Braylon Trice, the edge from Washington, another just developmental guy. Honestly, he might have to play a little bit right away. And I think even though some people don't see a lot of value in him, I think that's a guy that does everything above average. He doesn't do anything excellent yet, but being able to do everything above average is a great starting point, especially for a guy that midseason is only going to be in rotation. And as time goes on, he's just going to keep getting better. 2-3 years down the road, we'll ask him to start and he'll be ready to go. But round five, McKinley Jackson. This was a spot where I also actually saw Tavondre Sweat fall in other drafts. He didn't fall in this one, but if he did, that would have been perfect.
Yeah. But McKinley, McKinley's a good player, man. I honestly think with some right coaching, he could probably shed a few and improve. But he was a highly touted recruit. One of those Jimbo, those Jimbo boys in the A&M boy.
You can't get mad at Jimbo now.
He's a good old boy. He can't even get mad at a boy. They're good boys.
I mean, you want to talk about some good boys. They got some good boys down there in Tennessee as well. And let me tell you who they got down there in Tennessee. Round six, 184, Joe Milton III.
I've never wanted something to happen more because I actually feel like you will get a jersey. Like,
oh my God, yes.
May never play. I'll get
the Jimmy Butler fake dreads every game day. It just be like, put Milton in.
Oh, that's great. But, how are you wrapping yours up?
So these are all projects. Obviously, Milton would be a project too, and he would just be, you know,
Big. He's so big and throws the ball so far, and he's runs so fast. I mean,
That's our tush push.
You're not going to be mad at me. I mean, he played at Michigan. He played at Tennessee. He's played at big programs. This isn't, you know, a guy from Liberty, right?
Yeah. Oh damn, the Malik Willis shot.
I went there. I went there, bro.
Malik Willis catches a stray in the middle of the table.
He's like in his hot tub. He's like, oh.
But poor then I wrap it up round six with hybrid project James Williams out of the U, and then round seven, Cedric Johnson. One final edge, D-end, so D-lineman piece for us to throw
two trades, right? I'm reading it correctly, right? Two trades here. First two rounds, you're right out the gate, and you're trading back to accumulate more. But you're not falling out of the first. You've got Fatanu, which by the grade gives you an A+. I mean, if you got Fatanu at 24 – with a trade back, yeah, man, that has to be a day one probably best draft, right?
You know, cannot beat it.
Daniel Jeremiah's best. So Baker in the second, third. Excuse me, I'm reading that correctly. Third
pick 66.
If that happens, I think we're lucky if he lasts that far. But I think that's a great pick. 87 for Bullock. Again, if he's there, great pick. But I think he could last.
If he's not there, my alternatives, maybe not in that pick specifically, but in general, would be Tyke Smith out of Georgia. He's a fire safety. Not as rangy, but like he's just a fire guy, piece. Right?
Yeah, he's played a lot of roles. Okay.
I know Cam Kitchen scares a lot of y'all, but I actually really like Dadrian Taylor Demerson out of Texas Tech, bro.
I like him too. I like Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. He's a little bigger, but man, he's a beast too. I like it, man. I think that's a good draft. I would be happy. I think you found a plug-and-play left guard who probably can flex out to left tackle in 2 years. You found a competing third wide receiver who should beat out what we have on the roster, who probably combined with Waddle will give us that dimension we're looking for moving on from Hill. If that happens, Bullock comes in. He provides coverage for tight ends in the slot. Let's Poyer and Holland do interchangeable things back there, play box, which they're both excellent at. I'm not crazy about Braylon Trice, but in the third round, knowing he's the guy that we talk about that can flex down due to his size, you know, play edge and maybe get down and do a three tech, I like it. McKinley's there. Developmental nose. Milton, even though you got two back-to-back Fs, I understand what you're doing. I don't love James Williams, but if he's really, you know, I feel like he's another guy, like another Channing Tindall pick. I know that's kind of stupid, but like,
not in the third.
Yeah, sixth. You're right. In the sixth. You're absolutely right. But Cedric Johnson, if he's there, yeah, you're good. I actually think you have a better shot of seeing Cedric Johnson taken before Braylon Trice. And you can put that on my predictions because you know I'm pretty good at those. Yeah.
You're scary good at them. That's kind of scary.
I love the love you guys gave me last episode. I was gassed up. Sorry I couldn't be there.
Nah, you earned it, dude.
So for me, and I did this morning. I'm sticking with it. I just let the board play. I'm not saying this is my favorite mock, but I just woke up. I'm like, let's just do one. I use a different tool. I use the Pro Football Network because I'm cheap and don't have access. So it doesn't give me a grade because I don't believe in A's and C's. I believe in
I'm not a testing guy.
I'm
the guy that more brings just, up you know, every player thumbs up,
thumbs
well.
Down. I'm more of the Roman Coliseum. Just give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. So
big vibes.
Great vibes. Can't wait for Gladiator 2. All right. So my board, I'm sitting there at 21, right? I'm letting the simulator go. Sitting there at 21. You ready for this? Latu's on the board. Ooh. Latu's on the board. Johnny Newton's on the board. Murphy's on the board. That's those are the main guys I saw. There weren't a lot of and so was JPJ. JPJ was there. So all those guys that I think, if I'm not mistaken, you would have run you like enough probably to run that in, right?
I do.
Okay, but hold on.
But you know what we're hashtagging
ring,
right now.
Ring.
Who is it?
Oh, hey, it's me, Dan Campbell. I just had a couple Fentees, and I'm here with Brad Holmes, and I just want to know if you want to make a trade, because we want a trade up.
As long as you promise not to bite my kneecaps off.
I don't think I'll do that, Mike. I don't think I'll do that. But I'm willing to offer you the 29 and the 73 for your 21. What do you say there, Mike?
Send it in.
Send it in. All right, so that's what we did in my hypothetical. So we send it in. We fall back to 29. On the board now at 29, JPJ, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, and Michael Penix is still there. Shocker, son. Nobody called.
Phoenix.
The best offer for that pick was 46, and I didn't see the value in it. So you know what I did? I sent it in. I said, give me JPJ at 29. Is it a little lofty? Maybe. But I look at him as a guy that comes in. He starts at one of the guard positions and works on his snap ability, because between you and I think that's the biggest thing I saw, was that I wouldn't say he's a day one center starter over Aaron Brewer, but maybe he's fixing it. But that guy, Creed Murphy type, you know, mauler, angry. We've talked about it for years. I'm tired of passing on folks like that. Let's just go get it. We know how good Tua was when he had at least four or five O linemen, let alone a fully capable line. We did almost break the scoring record. So
I don't think you're reaching early on him either. I don't think it's terrible.
I think I like the fact that we were able to get, you know, those picks. And I'm sorry, I mistakenly said that it was 29 and 61 from Dan Campbell. So they actually gave us their second. That's how jazzed up they were. They did take Latu with that pick. So they're
Super Bowl ready.
Yeah, no, Lions going, you know, Hutch and Latu, good for them. So
what are we talking about? You got to have multiple stud pass rushers. Exactly. So I could see Dan making that call, because that's going to get them over the hump from NFC Championship to Super Bowl Championship. Just one more 8 to 12 sack guy. Yep. One more.
But for me personally, I'm tired of seeing the Quinnen Williams, the, you know, Ed Oliver's, those folks blowing up the middle of our, you know, guard position. So I'm going there. So, okay. So now we fall back and we're at 55, which is our slated second round pick. The board sucked. I'm not even going to lie to you. The board was not all Leggett was gone. All the receivers we talked about, Purcell was even gone. Pretty Ricky was gone.
What about Kingsley Suomataya?
He was gone. I kid you not. So you know what I did again? Ring, ring.
Oh, yeah.
Ring, ring. And guess who's there? Hey, it's me, Zach Taylor from the Cincinnati Bengals. Just wondering if you want to make a trade. We'd like to offer you the 80th and 97th pick for 55. Now, before you answer, I want to pause. And I want you to remind you, we just made a trade in the first round to get 29 and 61. So we are six picks between these picks. And those are premium slots. But you can get a 2-for-1 and the board sucks. What do you say?
I'll make him sweat for a second.
Yep. We don't want to give Joe Burrow too much, but at the same time.
All right, cool. And you said that was the 97 and the 80?
80. So now
instead of having a 103 pick gap between picks, we jumped back and had 61, 80, 97.
Yeah, four picks in the first 100, top 100, where we only had two to begin with.
As I told Dan, fuck it, send it in.
So get that. All right. Now we fall back, hanging out. We're going to look at their jump on 61. Sitting on the board is Jalen Pope, wide receiver, Roman Wilson, Devontae Walker. Javon Baker was there as well. And I took Jalen Pope.
Okay.
I did.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, I know. And I think I like what he's done. He blocks. He's played that they coming from a three wide receiver system at Washington. So I like it. So I went with him. So in the first two picks, 29 and 61, I've gotten O lineman. I've got a receiver. Now coming to the 80th pick, which we trade.
Do you also realize that gives us another variation of the name Jalen on our team?
Yeah, I just love. Yeah. Then this one.
That is our fourth Jalen. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's the fourth way to spell Jalen.
I know, right? So here at the 80th pick, still up there is a Roro from Clemson who tested very well as a defensive tackle with ability to set a little bit of the edge. Kieran Ambadeji from Yale, the developmental offensive tackle. Now, reminder, our coach went to Yale. Read the tea leaves. And then the one that I can't believe I passed up, but I went for need, where I view top need over this player. But Ben Sinnott was there from Kansas State, who kind of looks like a Laporta-type athlete, which I passed him up, and I went with a Roro. The Clemson took another Clemson D tackle. Nigerian.
Good luck with them, man.
Yep, I know. 6'4", 294, can play the 5 tech. So I grabbed him, and then we slid
back
to
the last Clemson D-tackle.
I know. I hope he's good, man. We'll see. And he's got good tape on him. And then I took Kalen Bullock at 97. So you and I are right there. We're seeing the same thing.
And you got him 10 picks later than me.
Yeah, which I doubt that's possible, but in my board, he was there. And then we wait because now we've all the movement we have done, we haven't created anything. We're waiting to 158. 158, the board was a little limited, but I passed up a tight end at 80, and I'm kind of happy because I think this guy has really good talent. And Jared Wiley from TCU. He's got a rugby background. He's Australian. Got a rugby background. He's 6'7", 265 pounds. And had a 9.3 RAS score at the combine.
And he only had one drop last year.
Yeah. So taking him, he's a guy that comes in, he sits, challenges Julian Hill, gets Tanner Connor the hell out of there, and then hopefully slides in, when our boy Durham's contract's up, the people's tight end.
Right.
Now we're getting to the same spot where you are. It's like, what players on the board are guys that we can invest in that maybe turn out to something? You don't want to waste these picks, but you really kind of want to find, hidden gems. You took Joe Milton with the 184. I, on my board, was Tyrone Tracy, running back from Purdue, converted wide receiver. Guy runs like a crackhead.
Yeah, he's the burner, right?
Yeah, he's nice, man. He's violent. But yeah, he's got that ability. Obviously, he can do it in the pass game if he's a wide receiver. Sitting at 198 for me, Gabe Murphy from UCLA. So same thing with you. Like, you took Seth Johnson, Gabe Murphy. I don't think either of them will probably be there. I think they're probably fourth or fifth round guys. But if they are, you run that in. And then ending in 241, which is kind of a throwaway, there was a linebacker I saw at the combine. I don't know anything about him. I just remember, when we were watching it a few months back. His name was Jordan McGee from Temple. He's 6'1", 230. He's from Philly Dog, so he's scrappy. He had back-to-back seasons of 80-plus tackles with 3.5 sacks and 4.5 sacks. He had a 9.6 athletic score at the combine.
Jesus.
So you want a guy that if Brooks gets hurt and you need a fill-in developmental piece, that's it.
So push Tindall out.
That's it. Push Tindall to the edge. See if he can do anything with his career. So yeah, that's
I love
it,
that
man.
Draft.
That's
I love it, that draft. You doubled
I like
the first
yours,
two picks.
I like yours more. I'm going to be honest. I like your start more. I kind of wish I went Baker instead of Polk, thinking back on it. And Fatanu, Fatanu over JPJ. But I will say I think mine's a little bit more realistic.
For sure.
Not to hate on you, but I think we did good. No.
If Fatanu falls that but I did plenty of other drafts, and that's one of the only ones where I was able to land him at all, let alone trading back and landing him. Most of them ended with Graham Barton or taking JPJ like you did. But I did always make sure to get into that. If I didn't get into the second round again, I got into the third round at least two times. And I try to get into the fourth round at least one or two times as well to get one of these safeties, another one of these edges. Love some Gabe Murphy, man. Like,
yeah,
getting him that late, that's fantastic. That's what I'm looking for.
I think we did good here.
I'm happy with it. I think there's just so much talent. I think all of us did a little bit more homework than we're accustomed to, because we've learned Greer does not take the names that we hear on the streets. The stuff that we hear on the streets is smoke and mirrors, and we need to dig a little bit deeper. So if they're all telling us worthy, 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 we know for a fact it's Leggett, Javon Baker, maybe even somebody we're not thinking of. It could be any of these other ones. Ladd McConkey could be the highest player on our board for all I know. Like,
the only picks I can think of where I was like, I knew what Greer was thinking, was literally Tua and Waddle. And those are pretty much force-fed to him. You know what I mean?
Yep. So, didn't see Wilkins coming a mile away.
But I will say this. You know, I will have, and hopefully we can post it on the Twitter page, I will have my round one mock that I have done since I was 7 years old. Every year, I've picked every first-round pick, trades included. Can't say I shoot 100, but I think my best year, I got like 16 to 17 right in the first round, and that's out of 32.
Not was that bad. 2 years ago?
It was pretty good, man. It was pretty good. So I will get that up and running. That was
scary, though.
Yeah.
You hit on the trades.
I know. I'm looking forward to it, man. I think we've got a little meat on the bone. There's still some good free agents in there. I think the key is we don't have to overreach for anything. But I think at the end of the day, we got to hit on 2 to 3 sound picks for sure.
So on the way out, Give me your top three wants. Doesn't have to be first round, second round. Could be anywhere. But who are your top three that you just, if we get out of the draft with these, we're doing it?
Developmental wide receiver who can make an impact. Yeah, sounds like a goddamn speed dating app. a wide receiver that hedge against future bets. You follow me there?
Right.
Shore up the interior O-line. Don't play, you know, Russian roulette with you know, the quarterback again. And give the D coordinator what he wants. Like, whatever that is.
Whether that's a safety, an inside linebacker,
a D tackle. It's clear to me they've given him what he thinks he can work with in year one. You know, I'm sure he came in and goes, this is what we've done in Baltimore. Okay, well, this is what we have on the roster, and this is what we have cap-wise. And that's why you see them being, when I say frugal, I think it's also smart with guys like Tart, you know, you're finding guys like Fuller, you know, we save $5 million waiting a year on Jordan Poyer for anybody keeping their calculator out at home. So,
right.
But yeah, those are my three things, you know, find a wide receiver, shore up the interior O-line, and give the defensive coordinator the developmental pieces he needs.
Give them the pieces they need. And if you guys would give us a like, a subscribe, a follow, you can follow Mr. Ware at Where Is Zach. You can follow Ouchman at OuchFinsYY. You can follow me at Chief Sut. And you guys can go ahead and link up with us pre-draft, post-draft. Ask us any other intel that you want. If you got some insider secrets, some whatever you want, we're all ears. Hit us up. We got a couple cool episodes coming post draft, and then next thing you know, coming to you live from camp
time. All right, brother,
it's on the way.
We'll see you later. Draft week next week. Peace out.
Let's get into it. Dance for the win.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami.